Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for this passage that Pastor Johnson will come and preach from this morning. God, use him to help us this morning. Help our hearts be willing. Help us as the hearers be willing, be ready to receive what the word of God says this morning. But more important, be willing to do what it says. Now, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they'd get that settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll give you the, ask you the admonition to make sure your electronic devices are turned off so they don't go off during the service. We'd appreciate that very much. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, God talks about two men. Two men, the Bible says, that had a testimony. Look in your Bibles again, please, this morning, would you? Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. By it, he, being dead, yet speaketh. You know, your testimony is going to long outlive your life. Verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Both men had lasting testimonies. If you know your Bible, you know that Abel was of the first four people on this planet. 6,000 years later, his testimony is continuing. Enoch was the fifth from Adam, and the Bible says Enoch was translated. God took him off this earth. He never knew natural death. God just reached down and took this man off the planet because God said he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now this morning, I hope you figured that the subject's going to be your testimony. But what is a testimony? What is your personal testimony? It is what is known about you to others. It's that simple. And everybody this morning has a testimony. Everybody does. Now it's important to understand this morning that, as I said a moment ago, your testimony is going to outlive your life. Brother Evanson, kidding around about my birthday being in September, mentioned some people's names whose testimony has outlived their life. But it's not a good one, is it? I mean, how many people have you met named Benedict Arnold? Or Adolf Hitler? Now, the name Adolf is common among the German folks, but I'm saying the names, they're associated not just with a name, they're associated with someone whose life tells us, we know things about their life. Could you have imagined 10 years ago that the name Bill Cosby would be associated with scandal? But I guarantee you, I don't care what the man's done with his life, what he did with his life has changed his testimony. Tiger Woods. These people whose lives were one thing before others but turned out to be something else, we'll talk about that in just a moment. That's their testimony now. You say, well, nobody really knows me, Pastor Johnson. Oh, you have a testimony. I assure you. What is known about you. Now, what I want us to do today is consider your testimony. First of all, let's get right to the message this morning. First of all, I want you to consider your testimony before God. It says here in Hebrews 11, verse 4 and 5, those two men, Abel and Enoch, it was God talking about their lives. It was God who testified of their gifts. It was God who testified of Enoch's life that he pleased God. It was God who said this about him. Then you go all the way through the book of Hebrews chapter 11. You know that's what's called the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Of people who did great things with their life. People who lived a certain life of faith. And they became known for that. You have a testimony. Friend, look at me this morning. You have a testimony before God today. Which means this. God knows what you are and who you really are. Say, that's not possible. There's 7.2 billion people on this planet. There's no way God knows me. But what he does. The Bible's very clear. It says he numbers the hair on your head. Some of you guys are giving him a lot less work. Thank you. He numbers the hair on your head. He notes the sparrow when it falls. He's God trying to show us the particular care he has for every living, breathing thing on this planet. And I assure you today, according to Psalm chapter 8, that you are more important than any animal, any creature on this planet. That's how important you are. That's how important people are to God. But more importantly than that, God knows you. He knows your testimony. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. In other words, God knows our thoughts, our mind, our thinking, our motives, our reasons, our intentions, our life, our past, our present. He knows everything about us. Now here's what we need to do this morning. Before we consider our testimony before others, let's consider our testimony before God. Because that's the most important thing. Because God knows who we really are. Now that's one of those good, bad things. It's good because God knows who we really are. When people misunderstand you, God knows who you really are. When people mistake you for who you are, what you do, God knows who you really are. That's a good thing. Of course, the bad thing is God knows who you really are. He knows what we are, what we really are. He knows what we're not. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we won't chase the scripture this morning. In verse number 19 of 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says this very clearly. The Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows his children. Our names are written in heaven. The Bible tells me that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm his child, and God knows me. And he knows that I'm his child. Sometimes we have a few folks in our church that have rather large families, or they have their kids have large families. Now, we've all done it before, and as you get to a certain age, you even if you just have one or two kids, you'll kind of look at them and go, what was your name again? But we know who they are. Listen to me. You can tell your children by how they walk. You can. You can pick them out in a crowd. You can tell the gait of their walk. There's things about them that you know because they're born to you and they're your children. Now listen to me. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you become God's child. And he knows who you are. And he knows that you belong to him. And he knows the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he has not forgotten that. And there is no place in the Bible where it says that God will ever disown any of his children. You can't unborn someone, pardon the bad English. To be born again, you go to heaven, you have to be born again. But there is no place in the Bible that born again is a spiritual thing that takes place when you accept Christ as your Savior. Your old nature is still there, but there's a new nature that is born in you. That's a new birth. You're a new creature in Christ. There's no place in the Bible where a child of God is ever unborn. God doesn't take that away from you. You are his child. That is a permanency. That you get saved and God keeps you because you're his children. Some of you today may have children that you're not close to because their lives are not right, but they're still your child. Nothing changes that. Right of birth, right of blood. The Lord knoweth them that are his, the Bible says. You are God's child. That's a permanent thing. And he knows that about you. I remember several years back, one of our men, as he got to the later years of his life, and he was quite elderly, he's probably 62 or something. And his memory started to fail. And then he got to where his memory, he had a pretty good short-term memory, but his long-term memory was shot. It's usually the other way around at that stage. And every time I go to visit him, he'd say, Pastor, now, I know, I'm pretty sure I got saved, but I just don't remember. This brother, I've known that man for 20 years. It's Roy Nearing. I knew that man for 20 years. Wonderful man. Tremendous testimony. I knew that man when he first came to our church, and he had a solid testimony of salvation. Very clear. I remembered it. I said, "Brother Roy, you don't have to worry about that." He goes, I'm sure I did. I love the Lord. He goes, "I just don't remember it." I said, "But I remember you and I talking one day, and you told me how you came and accepted Christ as your Savior. And more importantly, Roy, God knows that. God doesn't have memory failure. God doesn't forget. God doesn't take away anything. God doesn't say, 'Oh, is that one of my children?' He never does that. He knows those that are His." So my friend, this morning, do you have that testimony before God today? That He knows you and you know Him. Because you must understand something. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus said, "Many will come to me in that day and say, 'Lord, Lord,' they call Him by His name. 'Have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name?' And Jesus will say unto them, 'Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.'" This thing of knowing the Lord and that kind of stuff, that expression that people use, let's make certain we understand it's a two-way thing. You know Him in salvation. He knows you as His child. Do you have that testimony before God today? And are you certain of it? "Well, I'm pretty sure I took care of it. Read about a guy who's a so-called theologian of our day today. This man said, 'I don't know if I ever really got saved. I'm sure I did. Now when I get to heaven, I'll ask God when it happened.'" This is supposed to be a Christian theologian who knows his Bible. My 5-year-old grandson knows that he got saved just recently. He knows that. "And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. 53 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior as a 9-year-old boy. American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. It wasn't the church that saved me. It was Jesus that saved me. But that day, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And there have been times I wandered in my living and my thinking. But God has always been faithful, and that always comes to my mind. I know that I know the Lord who knows me." Your testimony is who you really are and who you are before others. What is your testimony before God? Oh, by the way, my child of God friend, my saved friend this morning, what is your testimony before Him? Sometimes we get, it's kind of interesting to me, we get the idea like, "Yeah, I know Him and He knows me, but I'm going to live my life the way I want. I'm going to do what I want to do." Every parent's had that battle before, agreed? When they're little, their path is easier to guide. Their behavior is easier to control. And then they walk into the minefield called teenage years. And every parent at some point in the years of their kids when they're teenagers has looked across the table at their kid and said, "Who are you and what did you do with my son? Give him back to me." Because these teenagers, they get a little heart, some of them, not all of them. None of ours, because they're wonderful. And they get a little hard-headed, don't they? They act like they don't know who you are, like you have no claims on their life. My favorite one is when a 14-year-old wants to emancipate themselves from their parents because they want to go live their life their own way. Give them a plastic bag, tell them to put everything in there they've ever paid for with their own money, and tell them to hit the nearest highway. That'll shut them up really fast. You know the truth of the matter is, dear people, as a child of God, sometimes we can act like there's no God, like God has no claim upon us. But He still does. And He still knows who we are, what we are, and what we do and what we don't do. Why do we get this idea that somehow or another God is way up there? All of a sudden, it's like God is not present in our lives. But He is. What is your testimony before God, Christian? Don't you understand this idea of Sunday morning, give Him a few minutes, God kind of stuff? Don't you understand it doesn't please Him? Because He didn't save you with a so-so salvation. He saved you with a so-great salvation. And that you're not your own, you're bought with a price. There are things we need to remind ourselves about as God's children. Because my testimony before my God should matter to me. Because He does know who I am. Boy, in this day and age, you live the Christian life the way you should and you live according to the Bible, you're not going to be real popular with a lot of folks. There are going to be people who are going to totally misunderstand what you do and why. There are going to be people who say things about you and against you that should not be said. But there should be a consoling thought in your mind. But my testimony before my God is right. Try it as a preacher sometimes. I can always tell how hard I'm preaching by how fast the building empties after a sermon. But there have been some Sundays I drove home and I thought to myself, I think I even made God mad today. I'm not sure. It could be. But the truth is, I just try to be faithful and preach His word. People that love it will love it, and people that don't won't. Can't do anything about that. But I pillow my head tonight, God willing, I have done exactly what He directed me to do, preached exactly what He wanted me to preach, and that's the way it should be. You say, well, that's for preachers. No, that should be for every child of God in this room. You ought to pillow your head every day of your life, pillow your head at night, and say, Lord, I wasn't perfect today, but I tried to honor You with my life because He knows who I am. Have you considered your testimony not only before God, but now have you considered your testimony, now listen, before yourself? So I know what my testimony is, Pastor Johnson. Good. Or do you have one of those, what we call a deceived testimony? They've convinced themselves that they're right and everything is okay, when in fact it isn't. Say, well, I mean, obviously, Pastor Johnson, no, listen to me. They deceive themselves. The Bible speaks of it, deceiving their own selves. They have a deceived testimony because in truth, they've convinced themselves that everything's all right when in fact it isn't all right. After a while, especially guys, now let me pick on the fellows for just a moment, especially men, we have a way of kind of compartmentalizing things in our life, and we start to just sort of push things over into certain areas and we kind of leave them there, and if nothing happens, we figure it's fine, even though it's still there. Are you listening to me, fellas? All right, good, thank you. I got one good man back there raising his hand. I see you. That's how the garage gets full. We just shove stuff in corners. Any guy with a clean garage is a sick dude anyway. I don't care who you are. If you're one of those guys with a squeaky clean garage, you are one sick puppy, buddy. Let me just tell you that right now. You need counseling and medication. Clean garage, sick mind. Sick mind. Everything on little hooks and all that kind of stuff. What kind of Twinkie are you, man? I mean, you got problems, okay? Good, I just want to share that with you. But the truth of the matter is, that's what we do with our lives. We just sort of, we deceive ourselves to think everything's okay. When I say, how's your testimony before yourself? When was the last time you checked it with the Lord? I can be okay with something, perfectly all right with something, and have it. I was telling my class this morning, I had my birthday was yesterday. Friday, I had a full physical. Now, you talk about the judgment seat of medicine. First thing the doctor did was look at me and he goes, so how's your health? And I thought, if I tell him the truth, I'm never getting out of this room. And the hospital's across the street. So I said, good. It's good. Got this chest pain that goes around my arm and down and makes me numb and I sweat and I get all pulpy and I fall over. But other than that, I'm doing great, doc. Everything's good. You know, the truth of the matter is we get a deceived testimony. We convince ourselves that everything's all right, when in truth, if we were honest before God, we'd know it isn't. Look here, you can't fix something until you realize it's broken. It's not like you have to condemn yourself. It's you got to look at it carefully. There's a deceived testimony we have of ourselves. Oh, there's another one. There's the perceived testimony. That's the one where everybody looks at us and we got this testimony in front of everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Now, most people are not two-faced because if they had a chance, they wouldn't pick the one they had. But the truth is that perceived testimony, where we got that thing where everything looks good in front of everybody. But in truth, that's not really who we are and what we are. But we're okay as long as we're perceived to be something that we're really not. We also call that hypocrites. Well, let me say this about hypocrites in church. First of all, there's always hypocrites in church. Whenever someone tells you, I don't go to church because of hypocrites, I always tell them, come on down, make one more. No big deal. A hypocrite is not someone who goes to church who's trying to work on things in their life. That's a smart person. Because that's what we're all doing, friend. We're all trying to just get a hold of the grace of God and the grace of God get a hold of us. Can I get an amen on that this morning? Okay, good. A hypocrite is somebody who puts on a face so everybody thinks they're okay, when in truth, that's not really what they are. That's not how they act at home. That's not how they treat their spouse. That's not how they treat their children. That's not the way they act when they go to work. That kind of stuff is just, it's destroying Christianity today. in the sight of lost people. Because you have a perceived testimony. See, you ought, we ought to be able to drop, come and look at your life at any moment, and that's what you really are, 24-7, middle of the night, when you're with people, when you're with people, when you're not, a perceived testimony. How can you live like that? How can you just go on with a life that's really not the way it is, but you keep putting up a front in front of people? That, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop that kind of foolishness. And the one to stop it is you. It's time to put an end to that. Then there's the believed testimony, because it all has to sound the same, because that's the way preachers are. Deceived, perceived. The believed testimony is what? Look here. I know what I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I deserve nothing but hell. That's all. Well, Pastor Johnson, after all, look at me, look at me. I know what I want to be. I know what I'm trying to be before my God. I know that I fail too often at what I do. But when it gets right down to it, I know what God got when he got Mike Johnson. He got a sinner saved by grace. And I have received such mercy from him. He has been so patient with me. There were times when he should have disowned me, but he never will because he made a promise of that. Not only that, but there were days when I received more mercy than I was worthy of. And how much worthy mercy are you worthy of, Pastor Johnson? None. I've already received all I should. Now, you see, that believed kind of testimony of myself helps me then to be a little more compassionate and understanding with other sinners saved by grace. Some Christians have kind of forgot where they came from. You came from that slippery place Psalms talks about, where he took you up out of that miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and established your going and put a new song in your mouth. That's what everybody was before they got saved and what everybody is after they got saved. And the new creature you are was what given you at salvation by Jesus Christ and the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. But after a while, something happens to us. We kind of get our thumbs in our spiritual vest, and all of a sudden we forget that we're still sinners saved by the grace of God. That is not excusing sin in my life. All I'm saying is I never want to forget where it came from. Then there's your testimony, not only before God and yourself. There is your testimony before others. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, we are a spectacle. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. The word spectacle is where they get the word theater, where in the old days, in the biblical days, they had outdoor theaters, of course. And in Ephesus, for instance, there's a theater that's cut out of the side of a mountain. It's for plays and musicals and things. It's cut out of the side of a mountain. And I mean, that mountain goes straight up. And they cut a platform down here, and the seating goes straight up above that platform, large stage area, where the people would come to sing or speak or perform or whatever. And so every person in that theater, you can go there today in Ephesus and sit in that theater, seats 50,000 people, and stand on the stage and whisper and be heard at the very top of the seating. And natural acoustics and perfect view for every person who comes. And they called those places where people gathered, you could see and hear everything, they called it a theatron or spectacle. The Bible says we are a spectacle. Our lives are like a being viewed by people. And so I don't care what people think. You are a selfish person if that's how you live your life. That is so wrong today. We've had presidents who live their lives the way they want, and they say, well, that's just the way I am in my personal life. That's not my political life. That's hogwash. That's who you really are. It's a shame today that people, they don't care what other people think about them. I do not live to please mankind, but I do live to not displease them. I want to live in such a way that my life is right because, listen now, because my testimony does not just affect Mike Johnson. It affects the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is viewed by others, by those in this life and by those in heaven. It says we are a spectacle unto the world. That's the people in the system of the world today, the unsaved. Unto angels, well, that's the angelic host in the heavenly life. That means people in that life, they watch us here. And unto men, the Bible says, and men, of course, does not mean just males. It's talking about people. It's talking about God's people. Your life is like lived on a stage before the unsaved, the host of heaven, and you've got in God's people. Haven't you been amazed to go out in public and see how some people just lose it? Like they're the only person on the planet. They're in a restaurant, you're having dinner, and they decide to have an argument in the restaurant. And they get into it with each other. And you're sitting there thinking, go out in the parking lot and do that. I didn't come in here to pay $12.50 for this steak to listen to you fight about the fact that you didn't walk the dog this morning. We were in Hawaii once on a trip. I'm getting on the elevator to go downstairs to the place where they had the breakfast items, you know, piled up pineapple and fresh fruit and mangoes and all the stuff down there and scrambled eggs and bacon. And boy, doesn't that sound good. And I'm going down to get breakfast, right? I'm on vacation. It's time to relax. I'm there in the elevator. I got my Hawaiian shirt on. I got tiny bubbles going through my mind. The song. not the other one. Tiny bubbles. Anyway, okay. I'm in the elevator. I'm in Hawaii. In a moment, those doors are going to open. There's palm trees. There's the ocean. There's the smell of the bacon and eggs and the fresh pineapple. And I'm thinking to myself, yes! Couple of days of relaxation. Stops at a floor. Door opens. Couple gets in front of me. I'm standing at the back of the elevator. Good morning. They didn't even acknowledge it. And immediately, boom! They start arguing with each other. Well, I thought this room was supposed to be an upgrade. What is it going on here? This is not an upgrade. You need to go down to the desk, tell them what you do. Oh, shut up, woman. I didn't come all the way out here from Wisconsin to listen to you talk about what room we got into. And boo, 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 boo. And I'm standing in the elevator going, are you kidding me? These people flew all the way out here from Wisconsin to stand in this elevator and fight about what the room is like? Go back to the room and fight about what the room is like. Not in my elevator this morning. And you said, oh, Pastor Johnson, you were there. You could have given them counsel. Are you kidding me? No, I don't want to counsel somebody. I wanted pineapple and scrambled eggs is what I wanted. I don't give it counsel to people. We used to have a landlord who was a policeman here in town, and he would go on vacation. People asked him, what do you do for a living? He'd say, well, I'm a policeman in Reading. They say, you ever shoot anybody? He got tired of people asking him that. So finally, when people would ask him where he did for a living, he said, I pick up garbage for the city. But anyway, so I'm standing there in the elevator, and I'm thinking, I'm not counseling anybody. You got to be kidding me. And it's like the fifth floor, and I got to go to the first to where the food is. And I'm going to listen to four floors of arguments. I'm thinking, I'm getting off on the second floor and take the stairs. This is unbelievable. These people just went at it for three floors about all the problems they had, how much they had mad at each other, how they were fighting on the plane on the way over here. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. You're in Hawaii. Park it. You say, nobody knows my life. Yes, they do. Because the Bible says we are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. And your testimony and my testimony should make a difference to us in how we live our lives. So, hey, we come along behind you in this city, and I ask them, tell me about what would they say? Now, I'll tell you this. I'm not concerned about the lies people will say about me because I know the truth of things. I'm concerned about what people will say that's not true about Mike Johnson because it would be said. Now, I guarantee you, living in this city for 32 years, more than 32 years, I guarantee you, things would be said. I can't do anything about whatever someone would say that's not so. By the way, I hope you would give me the benefit of the doubt, because that's what I do with you. But see, I'm more concerned about the truth that people know about me. What is true about me? Your testimony does impact what people think about God because of you. Your testimony makes a difference in your own personal life. Because after a while, you can't live a deceived and perceived life. You can go on like that. But how many more Bill Cosbys and Tiger Woods do we have to see before we realize that stuff catches up with you after a while? And then what happens? A whole bunch of good living goes down the drain in a moment of a revealed testimony that was hypocritical. None of us are going to be able to be perfect. I've stood in line at Walmart like you have and just about lost my salvation. Just about. I get aggravated with people. There are times when I've said and done things that I know I should not do. But I live every day of my life trying to honor the testimony that God has put in my life to honor Him. Won't you do the same? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.